Good morning. It's the Ask the Pastor program on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. Thanks again to Pastor David Boies Claire for the lesson in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. If you didn't get a chance to get in, I know Mondays can get busy and time can get away, and can't always get a chance to send in an email or dial up, ask a question. If you want to get in during this hour of the program, any questions about that text, you're perfectly free to do so. Pretty much here are the basic ground rules. Almost anything goes, because we work here with one little metric that we follow, Pastor Belton, and that is life is theology.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year. God bless.
All those things back at you.
Yeah, man.
How are you? My friend Dr. Victor Belton is joining us from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. What's going on?
All is well.
It is. What's going on down there that's wrong up here?
We can't seem to get a consistent cold snap down here. We keep having to deal with these 60 and 70 degree days, man.
Let me tell you, my friend, today it's going to be 71 in St. Louis, and Friday it's going to be 28.
Yeah, the St. Louis changes radically like that. Not so much in Georgia. It's going to be a little more gradual.
I don't know. I hear voices calling me south as I get older.
Yeah, it's worth doing. I do believe. I know a little congregation in Decatur that would love to have you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I might have to take you up on that offer. I don't know. But I don't know if you got a beach in Decatur.
Because
those voices I hear are calling
Mountain,
me.
Beach.
Really?
Yes. There's a little water at Stone Mountain where you can kind of dip your toes.
Well, now you've got my attention.
Not an ocean.
Well, that's all right.
But there's great fishing out at Stone Mountain, and there's a little beach.
Yeah, the oceans are nice, but just sticking your toes in the sand has got therapeutic effects that are just tremendous.
Yes, and then in this time of year, they kind of build little snow things so that you can slide down portions of the mountain and that kind of thing. So,
snow! Now all of a sudden the meter's dropping to the other side of the sky.
Well, no. I mean, the weather doesn't change, so you can do it in your short sleeves.
Really? Wow!
It's that cool, but yeah, that Stone Mountain is quite the park.
Well, are you gearing up for Lent, or are you still enjoying the break in between Christmas, Epiphany, and the Lenten season?
I'm really enjoying the break. I really am. Like the dyslexic agnostic.
I don't know why that sparked that old joke's memory in my mind, but it did.
Yeah. I said, what?
Well, it makes sense. The agnostic dyslexic who stayed up all night worrying that there wasn't a dog.
A dog, yeah. Yeah. Listen, let me share this with your readers, man. Church is no longer, with your listeners, church is no longer like a holy place set aside for God in the minds of criminals. We came in on December 29th. I hit the switch for lights and nothing happened.
I saw that on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, man, somebody stripped all of our copper. All of our electrical copper right off the Georgia power pole, and then went in and stripped it all out of the circuit boxes and things.
Good
really,
night,
really, man. Really messy.
Well, there's a congregation here in St. Louis, St. John, which is over on Morgan Ford, which has been hit several times. They've stolen the copper gutters. And last time the guy broke in and he stole one of their Heritage Bibles that goes back a couple of hundred years.
Yeah.
And they got that back, fortunately. They didn't.
Oh, that's great.
The Bible was recovered.
Yeah.
So what is it about church? I mean, it used to be that churches were off limits. You just didn't mess with a church.
Yes. You know what I think it goes to? I think it goes to how hungry and desperate people are in our day and age. And they're so hungry and so desperate that nothing is sacred. I mean, I've got to feed my family some kind of way. I've got to make ends meet. I have to do something to generate some income, and jobs aren't there, and mom and dad aren't there, and I can't borrow from anybody, and that kind of thing. And I'm not justifying by any means the behavior, but I am saying, man, desperate people do desperate things, and seems to me that's really an act of desperation.
Well, here in the St. Louis metro area, I got up this morning. I rolled out about 4:30, caught the early news. And one of the lead stories, I think it was the second story on the local news here, was that a congregation over in East St. Louis, one of the Free Will Baptist churches over there, three armed gunmen walked in during the service.
Wow.
And robbed them.
Wow. So we're at a place where we're going to have armed guards in the service now, huh?
Well,
and I know some churches in Decatur do that, actually.
Well, there have been a couple of instances where churches, I think there was one out Oklahoma way, had a couple of plainclothes security people that actually stopped a shooting. This was a couple of summers back.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that. So I don't know. I mean, the saying goes that an armed society is a polite society.
So the preacher should be packing. Is that what?
I saw a story. I get these things sent to me by email that, you know, once they get your name and they know that you're in radio,
mm-hmm.
they start pitching all kinds of program ideas to all these PR companies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's actually a pastor out there who's advocating that not necessarily the congregants, but the pastor ought to pack heat.
Wow.
And he cites specific examples of where gunmen have come into churches. And even here in Belleville, just across the river from St. Louis, a couple of years back, a fellow walked into a church, walked up to the pulpit, and shot the pastor literally right through his Bible.
Yeah, that's happened here as well, that folks have been disgruntled and done things like that.
Yeah.
It's all desperation, though. It's all lack of knowledge of God. It's disrespect of neighbor and of life. And if I were not absolutely sure that Jesus changes not and that he's got it all under control, I'd probably be moved to despair a little bit. But here's my response to the enemy, or to God allowing the enemy to do that and strip us of our copper and heat and electricity for a week or so. The enemy was probably angry because we fed and we clothed and we housed and we gave gifts away to so many families and so many people over Christmas that he figured he'd go ahead and take all of our electrical equipment. So what are you going to do now? And my response is, let's feed twice as much. Let's feed twice the number next year. See, if the enemy were wise, he would leave crazy people like me alone. Because all he's going to make me do is turn up the volume.
Well, it seems that, in the broader sense, what we're talking about is in a culture that's in retrograde and accelerating ever faster into the abyss. How are we supposed to react to that culture?
We accelerate our love. We accelerate our service. We accelerate the proclamation of the gospel. We accelerate the word and the name of Jesus in the earth.
Even with the media.
We meet fire with fire, man.
But it's the news. It's music. It's TV. It's film. It's anything you can put your eyes or ears on that's going to tell you that being a Christian today is bad.
Yes.
It's harmed culture. It's not done anything good. You know, everything puerile and hedonistic. Now, there's a positive for you.
So now we can't fight it. We can't fight fire with fire, that fire with like fire, carnality with carnality, but we can fight it with the love of God in Jesus Christ. God loves you. Jesus loves you. We want to serve you. We want to bless you. We want to anoint you. We want to share the grace and love of God with you, even though you don't like us, and even though you think we're bigoted, and even though you think we're misogynistic, and even though you think we're homophobic, all that noise. Yeah. But when you're hungry and need something to eat, we want to feed you.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. But, you know, when we try and speak truth to the culture, Dr. Belton, culture responds by mocking us.
Yes, it does. Until folks in the culture get hungry or need their rent paid or have another need that the culture that they're living in currently can't answer. My dad died. My mom died. There's no comfort. There's no peace. I can't find it at the bottom of a liquor bottle or in a crack pipe or in marijuana. I can't find the comfort and peace that I need. And where can I go? And those folks ultimately turn to church, to the Word of God.
But what did we ever do to deserve this? I mean, Christians, dare I say, even Lutherans, Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. What did we ever do to deserve this kind of treatment?
Believe in Jesus. It's with persecution. It's with trial and temptation. You know, and that's the stuff that ultimately builds us up. What's the song? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, well, that's Kierkegaard, yeah.
So yeah, that's our call in the midst of it all. These minor trials are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed when our Lord Jesus Christ cracks the sky.
So we shouldn't just walk away, reject everything, blow up your TV, as the bumper sticker says.
You know what? I think we need to know some of what's on TV. I don't think we can withdraw from the world. I think we confront it and encounter it. And sometimes write notes saying, you know, that's really unfair. I'm really disappointed. And what with Modern Family, where it's this alternate lifestyle and all this other noise. Mm. I'm really disappointed that the Golden Globes or whatever it is keeps awarding them prizes as they get farther and farther away from what it means to be a mainstream household in America in these days, or what it has meant historically to be a mainstream household in America.
Let's go to the phones, Dr. Belton. Pick up a call from John. John, good morning. You're on with Dr. Belton. Go ahead.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Dr. Belton.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I wanted to just throw out a quick comment before I hit my question to you both. I think so much of this degradation, and that's all you can call it, of our society, so much of this has come about, I think, by basically it's the breakdown of the family. And the home, I think, is where a lot of this begins. And I think if we were to be a little bit more faith-based at home, that a lot of this would go away.
Mm-hmm.
I think this downward spiral that we're having, you know, it's become so common on television that, you know, alternative lifestyles and things of that nature, and it's all okay. And I think as our kids grow up and see that, you know, they become desensitized.
Yes.
And I think that's why it's more and more important as us as parents make sure to put forth, you know, good, solid biblical teaching to our children.
But, you know, John, let me interrupt you for a moment, because that strikes something in me that I was thinking about earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big problem that parents have is in assuming that your kids can see this stuff and listen to this stuff and it won't affect them.
Yeah.
May I interject? I mean, may I say it's difficult as a parent. What is known as mainstream TV now always has references to alternative lifestyles and you may not even expect it, and you're sitting there watching a television program with your children, and all of a sudden this comes on, and then of course they have the quizzical looks on their faces. You know, it's just all kidding aside, I mean, ours watches CDs, Sesame Street, and things of that nature. We took them out of that because you can't trust the television,
right?
And that's just something that I didn't mean to make a long-winded comment. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. Let Dr. Belton, you jump in here. I know you've got something to say about this.
You know, I agree with John. It's a breakdown of family. I learned my morals, and I learned about Jesus, and I learned about how to treat people, loving my neighbor at my grandmother and mother and dad's knee. I mean, I learned how to treat other people in my family. Mm-hmm. And so when families don't teach that, I think, yeah, we're open for all kinds of moral degradation. The other thing was, you know, Ed, John, you reminded me that there were times I went to school when I was a child, and folks would say, did you see that television program last night on whatever it was? And I'd say, no, I didn't see that. And so there were things that our parents didn't let us see.
Right. Right. I just, you know, and my wife is also, the same thought process, too, that, you know, that we just, some of this stuff we can't trust the television and what's on there. My quick question, I just wanted to put forth, Roland and Pastor Belton, I apologize. I'm allowed to, I've talked with my pastor, and I'm allowed to do for our monthly newsletter. I'm so excited about this. They're going to allow me to do some research and print in our monthly newsletter some historical things throughout the Lutheran Church, history of the early church. I love history. But of course, you know, kept within the context of sound Lutheran teaching. I was asking, do you fellas know of any resources through whether be through our LCMS website or something where I can get some of these resources for printing?
It's worth looking at LCMS.org and
okay.
and just scrolling around. And looking at what it is that that we've said, there are some Bible studies and things out there that, that
okay.
might be helpful and might be illustrative. But yeah, that would be a starting source.
Well, are you looking okay. to are you looking for material that you could cut and paste, or do you want to or do you want to take things that you can craft yourself and then sort of, you know, take ownership of this little column that you're going to write and make it something personal that, you know, what's interesting you?
Well, Roland, I think later on down the line that may happen, but right now I'm just basically looking to do some cut and paste and, of course, cite the source that it actually belongs to for the congregation to, you know, just to be able to read during the newsletter.
Well, a great resource is the Concordia Historical Institute.
Okay.
If you love history, that's a great place to start. They're residents here on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. They have a website. They have a couple of websites. If you want to just sort of cut and paste little bits of the catechism with explanation or parts of the Book
sure.
of Concord, that's out there too. There's something called Project Wittenberg, which
okay.
has taken all these great documents of the Reformation and made them available to you just for clicking.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of resources out there. I mean, really, you'll be shocked if you just put in Luther's Small Catechism into Google, see what comes back at you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then
okay,
just like a spider web, just follow all the different links. There's some
okay.
great blog sites out there, too, that you might want to visit as well.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there's some not-so-great blog sites out there that you want to stay miles away from.
True.
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to avoid, absolutely.
But, you know, you'll discover that as soon as you open
know.
The page. You'll see that as soon as you open the page. You'll know.
It's clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, start with if you want to see the great documents of the Reformation, go to Project Wittenberg.
Yeah.
I think I'll do that. That's a great reference. Okay.
Yeah, but Concordia Historical Institute, I think it's chi.org, but put in Concordia Historical Institute, and you should be able to find their website without a problem. If you're having trouble, email me, rletner@kfuo.org. I'll see what other links I've got I can send to you.
Okay, Roland, Pastor, I appreciate it. Roland, you know I love the show. You're a gentleman and a scholar, and I appreciate the show both so much, and it's great to talk to you both.
Thank you, my friend.
God bless.
Okay, bye now.
All right, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, kfuo@kfuo.org. Now, that was the thing that really struck me about what John said, was that we seem to think, remember the old line, I will bet you, as the old saying goes, money, marbles, and chalk, that when you were a young man, like when I was a young man, you eventually had some kind of a conversation with someone, whether it was a grandmother or a father or whatever, and the answer you gave back was, I just like the music, I don't listen to the words.
Yeah, I like the music and I listen to the words too. So.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Unfortunately,
that we as parents assume that you know, these words and these images don't have an effect on our kids.
But they do.
Yeah,
they do. They really do.
Man, and it's tough too. I don't want to tell any stories out of school, but my youngest right now, who attends a Lutheran school here in the area, is dealing with some of the kids in the class. And not doing real well because, you know, these kids are talking about love is just love. You can love whoever you want. There's nothing wrong with loving somebody. And we all know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And this poor kid's caught in the middle of that.
Yeah. See, and again, so there are just some things that our parents didn't let us see, some things that our parents didn't allow us to interact with and to be a part of. Some things my parents didn't buy. For example, I can't see my dad even today spending $100 for a pair of tennis shoes for me. I wouldn't spend $100 for a pair of tennis shoes for myself. And when I was younger, you know, Chuck Taylors were I don't know, $12 or whatever they were. And I had to work to earn money to purchase those. So, they're just at home. They were teaching values and teaching morals and teaching us the value of a dollar and the value of Christian faith and the whole thing. All that came out of the house.
Mm.
All that's out of the household.
Yeah. I guess the thing, Dr. Belton, is that even though we have to confront this stuff and it's all around us, especially when our kids are out of our sight, this stuff is all around us, we just have to keep it from becoming normal.
Yes. Yes. The norm in the house needs to be the ruling norm. But it's a shame if you have a really, really, if your house is full of drama.
Hmm.
And so the drama becomes the norm. And I'm seeing that more and more in younger people that in the 20-somethings, that their houses were full of drama because they were being raised by 20-somethings. And so now they think that drama is the norm. You know, that this one's arguing with that one, and this one's fighting with that one, and this one's having kids out of it. It's a mess. It's a distressing mess.
Hey, Dr. Belton, James is on the line. He wants to talk about Christian persecution. James, if we need to hold you over the break, we will. Go ahead. We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. I'd like to make a comment and a question. And my question will be out of Luke 21, verses 12 through 15. And my comment is that I believe that why Christians are persecuted is because the enemy cannot refute or contradict or resist the truth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it could, why would they propagate or perpetrate persecution if they could make it null and void or refute it? That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, do persecutions come to give us an opportunity to witness? And could you give me an application out of that Luke 21, verses 12 through 15, because I think it speaks to that occasion.
Here's what that text says. It says, "But before all this, they lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict."
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what I'd like you to speak on, Pastor. And God bless you and Brother Roland. And I'll speak to you later.
All right, God bless you.
Thank you, James. Good appreciate that.
Good to hear from you.
All right, Dr. Bell, we got about a minute or so.
Sure. I think there are more and more websites. Thank God for internet. Everything on the internet's true, right?
Almost always 70% correct. Yes.
Yeah, not so much. But there are these websites, persecution.org and those things that talk about the number of Christians being persecuted worldwide.
Yeah, Voice of the Martyrs. Yeah.
Yeah, Voice of the Martyrs. Even as we speak today, that this Christian persecution is going on, and I think that Luke chapter 12 really does go to the point of it all, and that is the extension of the kingdom of God and the proclamation of the gospel. We get to speak the word of freedom to prisoners and to those who need to be set at liberty, and sometimes those folks are kings and governors that we have opportunity to speak to and with. And it is that, in my experience, that the Holy Spirit often will put words in me and will often speak through me. My penultimate example of that is Stephen, as he's being persecuted. And we'll talk about that when we come back after the break.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Also, when we get back from the break, Herman, you hold tight. You'll be up first after Dr. Belton finishes his thoughts. The Reverend Dr. Victor Belton, Peace Lutheran Church, Decatur, Georgia, our guest on Ask the Pastor. We'll be right back. Stick around. This is the Ask the Pastor program on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Our guest this morning is the Reverend Dr. Victor Belton, where he serves as pastor at Peace Lutheran Church down in Decatur, Georgia. And I want to wrap up your thoughts quickly on what James had to ask about that text in Luke chapter 21, since the break cut you off so quickly.
Oh, sure. The penultimate example of the Spirit teaching one what they need to say is Stephen, as he begins his conversation with folks about God's salvation history in Acts and works through that and walks through that, and then gets to the point of saying, "And this Jesus whom you killed." I believe by faith that Stephen's going, "Man, I just need to shut up. This is not going to come out good for me. This is not going to be a good outcome." But he can't, because this word has been sent by the authority of God, who's allowed them to lay hands on him and put hands on him, and then given him these words that he is under compulsion, urged by the Holy Spirit to speak.
All right, back to the phones as promised. Herman, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Pastor Belton, Mr. Lechner. Just a technical question here. You mentioned earlier about the Wittenberg Project site and things on there. I'm just kind of curious. Say if you wanted to reprint, like in a church bulletin or a newsletter or something, say a short paragraph or a couple of sentences out of, say, Lutheran Confessions or something like that, does that require you have to seek copyright permission slips, pay royalty fees, get a lawyer's advice, and all this, that, and the other? Is there anything that's in that you can reprint without all that the copyright rigmarole today?
Sin boldly and confess even more boldly.
Yeah, I think all of that information is so old that it's probably all public domain.
A lot of it is, yeah.
Yeah, at this point. But there's nothing wrong with a nice citation.
Yeah.
That would say this is from Tappert's Book of Concord. This is from the iTunes University of Concordia Seminary, or from Concordia Theological Quarterly, or from the Concordia Journal from Concordia Seminary.
Right, and most of those websites that put those kind of documents up on the web, if you go to the About Us or the FAQ section, they will tell you something about reprints.
Okay. I know you just stop and think about all this kind of copyright thing. I know a lot of the contemporary church music, they call it, is under a heavy copyright guard and royalty fees and licensing, right, and all that. And you stop thinking, well, is the gospel of Jesus Christ now held captive by copyright law? You know,
well, I would also point this out to you, Herman. I don't know if you saw this, but the latest iteration of Hansel and Gretel is coming out, and it's now being redone as a slasher flick, and apparently they had no worries about the Brothers Grimm getting copyrights. So, I would say sin boldly. Don't worry about that. If it's, like Dr. Belton says, if you give fair attribution for it, unless there is some prohibition clearly stated on the website from where you obtained it, I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Herman. Good to hear from you. All right, continue. Are you ready for more calls, Dr. Belton?
I am, but right. Part of what I was doing was giving John answers as well when John was asking for sources. And so iTunes University, Concordia Theological Quarterly, Concordia, which is produced by Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, and then the Concordia Journal produced by Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, all of that data is online, and that's a rich, rich theological resource.
Oh, yeah. Travis Scholl's been a guest on the program several times. He heads up the efforts here at Concordia Seminary St. Louis for the Concordia Journal, and lots of good stuff in there.
Absolutely.
And things that, even a layperson might want to wander into and take a look at, like homiletics and things like that.
Oh, for sure.
Lots
for
of
sure.
fun stuff. All right, let's go back to the phones. And is it Syed? Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you with us? Hello? Syed?
Yes,
Syed?
I am with you. Yes, I am with you.
Good morning. You're on the program. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you doing today?
We are well.
As well.
Yes, I would like to talk about our Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead. You're on here.
What? Yes, okay. Yes, I understand what you mean. Yes, 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 yes. I have written sorry. I'm getting killed off. I have recently, like, been, I don't know what happened to me. Like, I've been, like, waking up and finding myself, like, walking and sleeping. I thought I was possessed or something. In first, I thought I was, like, so can you unpossess me?
Can we, over the radio, unpossess you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so, Roland, I'm going to make this as short as possible. Do you have any sins that you need to confess?
Yes.
Yes. Would you confess those to God and
yes.
receive this word in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and Satan no longer has power and authority in your life? Are you baptized?
Yes.
Once again, we speak to your body and we say, this body belongs to Jesus by virtue of the grace of baptismal water. The enemy has no power and authority in this vessel of God. And so the enemy has to leave right now in the name of Jesus. We command that blessing to be so in Jesus' mighty name.
Uh-oh.
We command it to be so. So confession, absolution, your sins are forgiven. You've been washed in the water of Jesus. You've been covered by the blood of Jesus that takes away the sin of the world. And so you are free. Go in peace.
505-7850-1800-730-2727 and KFUO@KFUO.org. Well, that's the first call like that I've experienced.
Yeah, well, and you know, if Saeed would seek a Lutheran pastor and actually spend some time in private confession and perhaps even have his body reminded of the fact that he's been baptized by being run through some water and that kind of thing, I think that would effectively do what he's asking. And so, Saeed, go see a Lutheran pastor that will absolve you of those sins personally, and look you in your eyes and speak the grace of God into you.
Again, 505-7850-1800-730-2727. KFUO@KFUO.org. You know, there's a reality to that I think makes some people uncomfortable.
Well, thank you, Roland, because that's exactly where I was going. It does make people uncomfortable because folks make things spooky and goofy. We have all the tools that we need to combat the enemy. We have the water of baptism. We have the word that says, whatsoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whatsoever sins you retain, are retained. The authority to loose people from their sin. We have the grace and forgiveness of the bread and the wine. And so if we continue, and we have the word of God. And so if we as believers in Christ continue to walk around oppressed and repressed and without authority in our lives, it would not be God's fault. It would be our fault because we've decided that instead of being fools for Christ and looking goofy sometimes and sounding goofy, in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Well, that sounds goofy to 90% of the world, but it's the reality of God in which we live. And so if we're going to walk around repressed, let's not blame God, because God has given us every tool that we need in order to be free in Christ. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord God has anointed me to proclaim the good news, to set at liberty the captive. I mean, that's Bible, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to do with it other than just to exercise what it is, that the gift that God has given to his entire church, all of us.
I wonder, and then again, when these calls are put through, I just get one or two words as to what the call may be about, and really with that one, I just had a name, and we took it as it was. And I wonder if some people received that phone call and listened to it in sort of the same manner the disciples would have. when suddenly water becomes wine or a demoniac is healed or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, probably. But it's all the Lord. It's all Jesus. It's all his working, you know, signs and wonders and miracles. And you know, when in 1 Corinthians 12, in our lessons for pericopes for yesterday, there were these workers of miracles and the those able to heal and those with the gifts of administration, and so, man, why in the world would we receive all of that except for the manifestation gift, except for the stuff that says, in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven and you are healed and set free. I mean, why would we pick some of it and not receive it all as the inspired word of God?
Let's go back to the phones. Let's see. James wants a little bit of clarification on that text from Luke. Go ahead, James.
Sure.
Well, actually, as I listened to your previous caller, and I was kind of praying with Pastor as he was going through his absolution with the guy, I kind of thought about all of the opportunities that I've had. I've never known that you can get absolution over the radio. All the opportunities I've had as a believer to ask for that.
Mm.
And it's a great resource that I haven't even become aware of over the 20-some-odd years that I've been listening to KFUO. So if Pastor would be kind enough to extend that to me before I go to my American Friends service meeting to talk about queuing violence in our community.
Amen.
Could you possibly do that for me, Pastor?
Oh, sure. Do you have any sins you need to confess?
Yes.
Are you sorry for them?
Yes.
Do you seek the Lord's repentance? Do you
Yes.
seek the Lord's grace in your life?
Yes.
Then in the stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, James, I pronounce you free from all of your sin in the matchless name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so very much, Pastor.
Amen, sir. Yes.
Depart in
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Continue with the phone calls. Larry, you're next. Good morning.
Throw in there, Pastor, only a called and ordained servant of the word can do that.
No, sir. That is not what the Bible teaches.
Really?
Yes. That is not what the Bible teaches.
So I guess you're right. I can forgive my brother's sin, can I?
Sir, you better be forgiven.
Yeah, I was going to say, not just can, we're supposed to be doing that sort of stuff.
I can forgive Roland when he talks ill of me on the radio.
Absolutely.
I have never spoken ill of you on the radio. It's always been off the air.
Okay, good.
Forgive us our sins.
I'm kidding.
Forgive those who sin against us.
Okay.
That's right there in Lord's Prayer talk.
Theology is always about learning more.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Okay. Quick question and a quick comment. First of all, I was going to watch the golf tournament this weekend, but it got weathered out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I watched the Musial funeral instead.
Mm.
They said that they were reading the gospel, and what they read was the Beatitudes. Now, I'm looking through the Beatitudes, and I do see snippets of gospel there, but I see law, too. So how do we view that as Lutherans?
As Lutherans, we would say that is balanced theologically, because there is law and gospel.
Right.
C.F.W. Walther would say it is the mark of a theologian of excellent stature to be able to properly distinguish between law and gospel, to see the condemnation of God and to clearly be able to proclaim that, and then to see the forgiveness and grace of God offered to all through Jesus Christ, and to be accurately able to proclaim that as well. And so, yes, there is law and there is gospel. And so that's a great observation.
And for James, you know, the last Matthew 5, 10, and 11, it talks about persecution for righteousness' sake, and talks about those that will speak evil of you. Lastly, John in the first hour was talking a little bit about, and you did too, the stealing of the copper.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, isn't it amazing how the liberals can change the meaning of words, and they have such an effect on people's way of thinking? I think that the word diverse has replaced the word perverse.
That's an interesting observation.
If you would comment on that.
Yeah,
and then,
that just as I think of it off the top, diverse is there are many different kinds, and all kinds are equally acceptable. Perverse is there are many different kinds, but they're not all equal in terms of their ability to portray truth.
Well, look at the logo of the homosexual movement. It's a rainbow. It's the colors of a rainbow. The rainbow is a good thing provided for us by God that he made a promise to us, right?
Exactly.
They've perverted it. They've replaced, you know, they've made this symbol from God into something perverse. But they use the word diverse in order to expand that.
Right. Right, right. I've got you. I think we're that's why the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod theologically is historical grammatical, because we believe that words convey meaning, and the way that we say things is critically important. You're absolutely spot on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Good to hear from you again. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Plenty of time to get in with a question or a comment for Dr. Victor Belton from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. I want to play just a bit of audio. I found this story on Friday. It comes from the St. Louis area here.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of speaks to, well, I don't know, it sort of speaks to where we started talking about culture at the top of this hour. It's about the tragic story of a young girl who was diagnosed with brain cancer and how she approached this. Just a couple of minutes long. Listen to this, Dr. Belton.
Seems like the stuff of science fiction. A dying young woman from Baldwin decides she wants to be frozen after her death until a cure is found for brain cancer. But would her wish be fulfilled? News 11's Paul Shankman has the story.
When we first met Kim Swosey in October, it was obvious this would be the last time we would meet.
It's a huge shock.
Kim was enjoying a surprise day of wishes fulfilled, though her greatest wish, that she could be cured of terminal brain cancer, would not be granted. But before she died, she surprised her family with news of another wish.
I want to be cryopreserved.
In other words, after her death, Kim wanted to be frozen, hoping science will someday find a way to both cure cancer and bring her back to life. The more Kim's mother learned of her daughter's plan, the more difficult it became to accept, especially when she heard all that would be frozen was Kim's head.
The cryopreservation is more successful if it's just the head, and I couldn't tell you why. I just know that what they're really after is the brain.
To be cryopreserved is both controversial and expensive. Kim was not bothered by the controversy. In fact, she wanted to be a neuroscientist. But the cost was a problem, so she posted pleas on the internet, and soon others did the same.
One of her friends had on her website, please help freeze my friend.
Kim raised $7,000 on her own and received a donation of more than $60,000 from a cryo advocacy group called the Society for Venturism. And while it took a while for Kim's mother to accept her daughter's decision, now she embraces it.
I said, Kimmy, you know, if God has given us the brains to figure this stuff out, then who's to say what plans he has once we have figured it out?
Kim spent the final 2 weeks of her life at a hospice in Scottsdale, Arizona, so she could be in the same city as the cryopreservation center she chose for herself. Kim passed away peacefully last Thursday morning at the age of 23. At the Peabody News Bureau downtown, Paul Shankman, News 11.
God has given us the brains to figure this out, Dr. Belden.
Yeah, man, 23, Lord, seems much too early.
Oh yeah,
to us. And so, Father, help the family, comfort and strengthen them with your mercy and in your grace. God has answered the issue. Man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. I mean, that's it. And so, this capacity to bring folk back, what would that mean? She'd live again and then she'd face judgment again, or she'd live again and no, it's done. It's our attempt to deny the reality of death. You know, it's to deny the reality of the finality of it if there is no faith in Christ. And if we aren't absolutely sure that Jesus died to save us from the wages of sin and hell and death, we've got to proclaim that gospel. We've got to proclaim that thing loud and strong, so that folks don't get wrapped up in freeze my brain or help me to maintain. No, it's given for man to die once, and after that to face judgment. You can't bring it back. You don't get a do-over after that. You don't get to make it better by coming back again. There are some religions that teach that, but that's not the reality of the Bible.
Were it that most Christians would have as much faith in Christ as this woman has in science?
Yes. You said a mouthful there. Said a mouthful there. What exactly do we put our faith in? You know, that science can bring it back and make it work, and it's going to be better next time around. I mean, come on, guys, think it through.
You know, not that the church ought to be at the forefront of these kind of issues, because at the moment they're so odd, bizarre, so infrequent, but if science ever does come to the point where they could reanimate someone's head, and you can go back, if you go online to YouTube, you can find old black and white film from where the Russians did this with a dog back in the 40s,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And kept it alive for a while. I mean, all these almost unanswerable questions about if you could reanimate, wow. You know, do you think we're going to have that moment where just before science figures it all out, Jesus is going to come back and say, enough.
Man, that was
far enough.
I hope Jesus makes it back before science exhausts itself, because that's going to take a long, 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 long time.
Well, you know, we've talked about topics of death before, and I always tease a little bit that there's 13 North Korean scientists working on curing the problem right now.
Yeah.
And I always thought I was, you know, being kind of acerbic about that. It turns out that I guess there are doctors working on curing death.
Yeah. That's ultimately every man's wish, isn't it? That we would live forever. And the reality is that we will with Christ, or we will in the lake of fire that burns and is never consumed. So we get to make the choice.
I could also hear a little bit of the natural law working on the mom, you know, where she was talking about, you know, she's having a hard time reconciling it with her personal faith.
Yeah, you know, and so my heart just bleeds for both of them. I mean, it's really hard. It's just hard. It's hard. There are some things in life that God allows that knock us off our perch, and had it not been for His grace and mercy, His love and care, we would not be able to recover. And so, yeah, she's in the midst of a little bit of a faith crisis as well.
Now, just a few seconds left. Are you heading to St. Louis anytime soon?
I'm there for board of directors in February, I think it is, February, March.
And what about the prayer event? Is that coming up this year as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that. Pray 2013, Cliff Deere and I are currently working on. And the dates, thank you for mentioning that. The dates aren't in my brain right now.
Do you know about what month it may be?
No, let me not put any.
All right. Well, as soon as you figure it out, let us know. We'll get the word out for you, Dr. Belton.
It's April 18 and 19.
April 18 and 19.
At St. Louis Crown Plaza.
We'll keep you posted, Dr. Victor Belton. Thank you. All the best. God bless you, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Bless you as well.
See you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.